What is going on, Party People Army? This is Party Card Sports. I'm Cody, and this is my boy Nate.
Guess it would help if I unmute myself.
Yeah, that would help.
It would definitely help. I was preoccupado cracking a cold one, and then I realized I did not hear that in my headset. And then I still tried to talk.
Technical errors by Nate early.
It's okay. It's okay. It's still early in the podcast. We got a ton more to fuck up. Speaking of fuck ups, I'm going to go ahead and correct myself from last week because we're going to go ahead and start on March Madness. I had in my notes one thing, the correct thing. I said the complete wrong thing because my brain only operates in football. We were talking about Alabama, and I said Alabama only plays defense. I sadly mistaken that.
Yeah.
They don't play defense. They only play offense in basketball.
Yeah, I was kind of confused, but I wasn't going to argue with you about it. I was like, I'm pretty sure they're like one of the highest offensive rated teams.
But they don't play defense. Their defense efficiency is awful.
Yeah.
I had that correct in my notes, but I looked at it, and then for some reason, Alabama football defense, you know, you connect some dots. We had just left the podcast, and I'm like, I sound like a complete fucking idiot.
Yeah, it happens, man. Like we look at a bunch of crap and talk about a bunch of crap, and it just sometimes becomes
that
crap.
That just shows you that we don't edit this shit. This is all raw. We might as well be doing live.
Nah, the whole point of this podcast is to sound like you're sitting around with your buddies and just talking smack. If you wanted statistics and all that crap, ESPN, Stephen A, they got your back.
Yeah. Let's get onto it, though. So I got my correction out of the way. Alabama, you know, they didn't struggle against Clemson. They played good. Clemson played good. And they find their way into the Final Four.
Well, Clemson's an extremely defensive team, actually, like you were saying. That's why they ended up beating Arizona. But Bama reigned supreme, just like I thought they would.
Look, I mean, it was a good game. But I just don't see it. I don't see how they beat UConn. UConn beats Illinois by 25 points.
Illinois. They shouldn't have made it this far in the tournament in the first place.
No. You're on the podcast last week saying, let's see how they do when they play against a good team like Illinois. They just beat them by 25. They were up 30 at one point.
Listen here. At halftime, I was thinking, okay, this is exactly how I thought this game was going to go. UConn was only up by five points. 5 points.
And they beat their ass and like went a Cherokee
on
a, drum.
They went on a run to begin the second half of 30-0.
There was a stat.
Remember how
it was like 50 minutes in real time, Illinois didn't score a point.
Remember how earlier on in this bracket, I was telling you, like, BYU had a 24-2 run, and I was like, that never happens. It's crazy that they came back and won the game. Oh yeah, that got trumped by a 30-0 run.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous, man. Like that is really good. But
you think Alabama can stop that kind of scoring?
Illinois, I'm gonna try to say it right instead of saying Illinois. Illinois is the defensive team, though. Like that's who you thought Alabama was, but that's who
they
Illinois
were.
Was.
Who I thought they were
exactly. So like UConn was gonna always win that game. They're gonna outscore them. Offensive efficiency in basketball always trumps defensive efficiency. Change my mind.
And now Alabama's got to play a UConn team that does both.
Alabama is about to smack UConn in the mouth.
I don't see it. Now, I definitely don't see UConn.
Listen.
You know, but I don't see UConn beating him by 20 unless Alabama comes up and throws up a shit ton of bricks all of a sudden.
Listen, I don't say this very often.
I'm gonna mute you. I'm gonna mute you if you say.
I don't say this very often, but the odds for Bama are +560 right now, and if you don't even just take a little bit of a shot on that, I don't know what you're doing.
I'm not taking a shot on that.
It's a little shot.
No,
you don't have to do that much. You put $20 in. That's $100.
No, not doing it.
Now. Tell me why.
If I wanted to throw away $20, I have more faith in NC State beating Purdue than I do Alabama beating UConn.
That's at like +300.
See, North Carolina State, matching up against Purdue. North Carolina State has been playing.
See, I don't mind that.
Has been playing pretty good ball. Their big man's been playing good. But now he's got to play against another good big man on Purdue. So.
See that? Yeah. The problem with Purdue.
Will those be complete washes? That will decide the game, in my opinion.
How tall is that big kid at NC State? I know I knew I'm going to ask you a question that you probably don't have the answer to right off the top of your head.
He's a fucking big.
But he's not that tall though. This homeboy for Purdue, what is his last name? Edney or something?
The Muhammad Devria.
No,
NC State is 6'10".
Okay, well that's 6 inches shorter than Edney,
the 7-footer.
Yeah, I think it's Edney. I'm probably totally wrong about this, but he's 7'4". He makes tall people look short.
He makes tall people look not tall. Let's see. Where is he at? Edney is 7'4".
Yeah.
He's a big cat.
Yeah, dude. Like, now there is a big mass difference, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and he could probably work him, but like we've always said, guys with big wingspans, they don't need to stay on you that tough. All they have to do is get that big old giant gap. What is it called? Like a freaking gosh dang huge airplane wing just smashing down a ball.
Like a wing of a pterodactyl.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. I think that matchup's not great for those NC State. But that now.
Well, here's the thing though, is that NC State has another 6'9" forward. And Burns, who went off in that game against Duke for 29 points.
That's what I was about to say. Like, now, on the other end, though.
So, who you gonna put on him? Who's got that height? If you're Purdue. Because Purdue don't have another 6'9 guy, I don't think.
They probably do.
They definitely don't have another 7-footer.
They don't have another 7-footer, no.
who's got one of those just laying around, right?
Listen,
Linda.
The Final Four is where Cinderella's stories go to die.
So Purdue's got another 6'9 guy. They're only forward because they go with a 3-guard front. Purdue does. And Trey Wren, 6'9 forward. That's who will be guard. But once again, we're talking about mass. This dude probably the guy for North Carolina State probably outweighs Wren by I'm not even gonna pull it up, but I'm gonna say 40 pounds, 30 pounds. The dude is thick.
North Carolina State's MO through the tournament so far has been like holding teams.
They're gritty.
Like to below 70.
They're going to play defense. They're going to drain the clock. They're going to get the ball inside the paint and just grind you down.
I'll give you this though. You definitely did call the NC State upset over Duke. I knew Duke kind of struggled a little bit versus Houston, but I figured, you know, that's number one seed versus number four. But man, Duke had nothing going in that game at all. Just
throwing up bricks. I mean, they couldn't hit a shot. They couldn't hit a free throw.
I think if Creighton would have won that game versus Tennessee, I think Creighton would have matched up with Purdue a little better. But Tennessee never stood a chance either versus Purdue.
Oh, no.
No, that game was pretty
I mean, for as close as it was on paper, Purdue just, I don't think they were ever really threatened at all.
Was that the most boring Elite Eight?
I don't think so.
Because the only game that was good, or close, I'll say, is Clemson-Bama.
Purdue-Tennessee was only 8 points.
They had them handled.
But, I mean, yeah. It was six points, but they had them handled. But, yeah.
Had them handled.
There was, at no point did you really think Purdue was going to lose that game. I mean, we can say the same thing about the Bama-Clemson game. Alabama didn't really ever look like they were threatened.
There were some times... Where
they tested your faith.
Where it got tied up in the second half, like in the middle of the second half, and I'm sitting there going, like, please don't do this to me. Please let me be right. Because I've been saying roll tide all week. And I'm like, of course they're gonna lose, but not that.
So let's just set the stage. Final Four.
Yeah.
NC State, Purdue. Who are you going with?
My heart wants to stick with NC State, but my brain knows that Purdue is going to win.
I'm taking NC State.
I know you are.
I'm going to take the NC State for the dogs. And here's the thing. I think
the Wolfpack.
If it's NC State and Alabama, Alabama probably rolls the Rural State. It doesn't matter. I think the winner of this tournament comes out of that Alabama UConn.
Here's what I'll say. If I was NC State, I'm taking it to homeboy.
Like, just right at him. Right at the 7-footer all day.
I want your best player out of the game. And let's be honest, that's their best player. And if I can get your best player out of the game, they're gonna win.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I'm them, I'm telling big boy, I'm like, get in his head, make him want to put like be physical with him, box him out. Like, you don't even have to win all your matchups, right? Just box him out, make him get frustrated. And then once he's frustrated, he's going to start doing that stupid little tap on the wrist, the stupid little, like, push, like, get off me. And it's going to...
Going to tech him up real quick?
Basically...
Give him the hook.
Remember when I was telling you that about my football strategy, right? If I was a football coach, I would tell my defensive team, no matter what, on the first play, I need you to smack that quarterback in the mouth. That's what I'm telling my boys at NC State. I'm like, I don't care what happens, but right off the bat, I need you to smack that boy in the mouth.
So, quick segue. I guess it's not really a segue, but the hockey match, did you see that?
Where
right at the puck drop, everyone just drops their gloves and starts throwing down.
I thought that was the craziest rule I've ever heard, is that since the two guys that started fighting first dropped their gloves first, everything else was at a secondary fight, and so all other eight players also got like ejected from the game. I was like, yeah, what the hell?
I saw that, and then you were talking about smacking people in the mouth at the start of the game. I'm like, that's the first thing that came to my head. I'm like, man, dude, that was nuts. All right, so back to Final Four. So you've got Purdue. I'm gonna go ahead and ride with NC State. I think that they can beat Purdue. I think that they do match up pretty well, especially with the big man. As long as they can control what's his name? Would you say Edney?
I think it's Edney.
Yeah, something like that. For Purdue, I think that they stand a shot. I think it's going to be a slow, boring game. I don't think it's going to be exciting. Now, exciting is going to be the UConn-Alabama game. That game is going to be exciting. I'm obviously going to ride with UConn. I think UConn's playing the best basketball of every team.
Did you hear what happened to UConn?
No.
So they flew out.
I did hear that they were having some difficulties or some shit going on.
So they were having problems flying out. For some reason, the NCAA scheduled them on a later flight than every other team. That flight got canceled for some sort of technical issues on the airplane.
Must have been a Boeing.
Probably made it Spirit. And so then that flight got canceled. Then they finally brought in another plane. The flight crew were past their hours. So that flight crew, the flight crew
got canceled.
So they had to wait. It was early, early that morning, the next morning, before they could even fly out. And then when they get to their hotels, they posted pictures, you know, of like, oh, look, they gave us this cool stuff for the Final Four, whatever. They were in double rooms with another player. Not very uncommon, right? For college basketball players to have to share a room. But every other team got singles and king size beds.
Wow.
So,
damn.
So there's some speculation out there that even the NCAA is against UConn winning. And I was watching this whole thing, and talking about sleep studies and stuff, right?
Well, yeah.
So
there's a lot of
sleep. If you mess up your sleep schedule by just a few hours, it takes multiple days to fix it. So, and by the timeline, that means UConn could be still in jet lag when they play this game.
Yeah. If there's one thing that college students aren't really worried about, it's sleep. So, I think they'll be okay.
I can't remember where they did the study at, but there was a study that showed the difference between getting 10 good hours of sleep on your field goal percentage and performance during a game compared to lesser hours, and the less and less hours, the worse and worse you did.
Well, yeah, that kind of correlates.
So the NCAA purposely sent them out later.
All I'm saying is how much sleep did you really get when you were in college?
That doesn't matter. I'm not playing in the Final Four.
When you were playing football, how much sleep did you get?
I mean, I still threw in like a good sixer every now and again.
I mean, I slept pretty good when I still played ball in college. I slept fucking fantastic. I come home from practice, I was tired. But I see where you're going with it.
I've always been a person, though, that has run off less sleep.
Exactly. And I mean, college students, that's what they do. They don't know what sleep really is.
I'm just saying that if this stuff is right, I'm hammering that money line, Alabama. I'm going 100% Alabama. I think they can keep up with them in scoring. They're the only team in this entire bracket I think can keep up with UConn in scoring. And if you think I'm crazy for even thinking about money line, then you should at least be thinking about points. At the very least.
What's the spread?
Was it 9? I'm glad you asked, Nate. I'm glad you asked these important questions. 9.5? Because the spread is 8.5.
It's a little much.
Or a little too light in the what's the word? A little too light in the caboose for me, if you ask me.
not enough fatty in those pants.
Oh no, I'm wrong. I was looking at the NC State Purdue. It's 11.5. Oh, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Okay, 11.5.
I don't care that they outscored a defensive team like Illinois by 20. 25. I don't care that they outscored San Diego State by 30. San Diego State stinks.
I don't care
that they beat Northwestern by 30. I don't care. It don't matter. Those teams are garbo compared to Alabama.
And those teams play more defense than Alabama. So you think that they put 77 points up on Illinois?
And
what's it going to take, 120 to beat Alabama?
And I'm pretty sure Bama gets their three-point specialist back in this game. I think he came off of the injury report as well. So now Bama gets even better.
What's that do for their – they still got to stop UConn from scoring.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is a race to 100.
This race to like 120, 110. That's what I feel like it's going to be.
So UConn has – if you 75, 82, 77, that's an average of somewhere in the range of like 79 to 80 points a game.
Against some of the better defenses.
Bama, 72, 89, 89.
Also,
that's an average of like 85 points a game.
Also, not very good defenses other than Clemson.
I'm telling you, man, I'm hammering this money line, Bama.
I'm not for the money line, but I
roll
the spread. Yeah.
Damn,
I'm going to UConn. UConn's just playing too good at basketball right now.
So, want to do a side bet?
No, I already told you off mic.
I know. I was trying to pressure you on mic. Do a side bet.
No,
you have to come on here and apologize to me.
I'm not roasting you. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is that I have an original thought. You're going off of somebody else's thoughts.
Okay, and yeah, that brings up a good point. Thank you. I've been roasting Gordon Palm for the last 2 weeks because Gordon Palm's been doing me wrong. But Bama is the only Gordon Palm dog left.
Which is why I hope they fall. And I hope they fall hard. Hard.
I'm just...
So, but a
Gordon Palm team has won every NCAA championship for the last, like, 12-ish years or something like that.
But we are in agreement that the winner of the finals that will be on Monday is going to be the winner of the Alabama-UConn game.
I think so.
I think whoever wins that game.
If UConn makes it out of here, they can outscore Purdue.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily outscore Purdue. I think
same thing about Alabama, though.
They don't need to go into the big guy's house.
No.
No. No. I did have one quarrel with the big guy in Purdue.
Okay.
Did they forget what 3-second violation is?
He did seem to just post up in there for a long time.
I feel like some refs in the NCAA tournament kind of forgot how you're supposed to be out of the box sometimes.
But I would have to look at the rules because there was a point in time where you only had to have 1 foot out to be out of the paint.
Yeah, but there was times where I saw him in the paint for like 10 seconds.
Hey, you know, good times, good times.
I fully agree with you, man. Like, if Alabama wins, I see a national championship.
Yep.
If UConn wins, I see a national championship. Like, that's easy. I feel like it's easy because if UConn makes it, they're going to be the odds-on favorite easy.
Yeah, against either one of those teams, I think so, yeah. But I think if Alabama wins, I think they're gonna be the favorite against even Purdue, in my opinion.
Now the coolest matchup, and you can agree with me on this one, is if Bama and NC State make it in. That'd be the coolest matchup.
I don't know. I just
two red teams. Versus 11. When's the last time a 4-11 happened?
Well, I can tell you the lowest seed to ever win was an 8 seed.
Yeah.
In Villanova in the '80s, I think. That's the only reason why I would like to see NC State win, because the highest seed to win has been an 8 seed.
And in the past few, if you go back and look at all the Cinderella stories from the past few years, like I think UCLA was a Cinderella a few years ago. You look at what's that team that had that granny that was on the sidelines every? Oh, Loyola.
Yeah,
Loyola.
Yeah.
WSU. All of them ended
in the Elite Eight,
in the Final Four. No, they ended in the Final Four.
I thought they ended in the Elite Eight.
WSU made it to the Final Four. Loyola, I think, might have lost in... No, Loyola made it to the Final Four, too. UCLA made it to the Final Four and lost. Like, this is where those Cinderella stories go to die, unfortunately.
Where the clock finally strikes midnight.
Exactly. The pumpkin turns... Or the carriage turns back into a pumpkin.
Glass slippers off the foot.
Yeah. The freaking... carriage riders turn back into mice, you know, all that stuff. The dress turns back into tatters. All that ends in the Final Four.
Wow. All right. Let's move on. I'm done talking about basketball. Now, as much as I like college basketball, I just love football way more.
Way more. That's a very good statistical way of putting it.
Well, exponentially more. Exponentially more. And for a week that there wasn't a lot of big news, there was actually just enough big news come out this week.
There was some of the biggest news this week.
Some might say. But let's start with the crumbs. Let's start with the breadcrumbs.
Okay.
So, a breadcrumb. You know, Baltimore, they lost Patrick Queen, but they retain old man Kyle Van Noy. I say old, and he's only a couple years older than us. But
yeah, but we're old for NFL standards.
Well, he's old for NFL standards. He's 33.
Yeah, but usually when you get to our age, that's when you start falling off the NFL table, unless you're the Tom Brady.
Yes, I'm staring at you with devilish fucking eyes for saying that on this podcast.
Well, he's 45.
You shut your dirty whore mouth. Don't ever mention his name on this podcast.
Well, I'm just saying. So, he was still playing at 45.
That's true. I mean, Brett Favre was playing fucking at 40.
Yeah, but he never won a Super Bowl at 40.
No, he didn't.
That's the only person that won like a Super Bowl when they're 40 years old.
Hey, we got a lot of football.
Except for maybe Vinatieri. Was Vinatieri 40?
Oh, if we're talking about kickers, yeah.
Okay, well, there's like two people.
So, Kyle Van Noy gets re-signed by Baltimore.
Good re-sign.
Yep. Colts re-signed Julian Blackman, which they should have done before free agency even started. Woo!
He's good enough to be re-signed. I don't know what took him so long.
I wonder if they just let him if Blackman just wanted to test the market and he wasn't getting what he wanted. So the Colts probably got him wicked fucking cheap.
I would agree with that.
You said that the Cowboys got their guy back.
Yeah, the legend Chuma Aduga.
Aduki.
His nickname should be Chuma Aduki, because this dude, when he came in last year, missed so many blocks. The dude is not good. He's not even good for a swing tackle. He's good for a practice player. Thank you, Jerry, for re-signing. Can you hear that? Can you hear that little golf clap? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I could hear it. The Chiefs get their new franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz, to the Chiefs.
I saw that. That's not a bad backup, though.
Like, no, it really isn't. I mean, basically what that does is it saves them from drafting, you know, Joe Milton.
Oh, Joe Milton. Yeah. Well, they could still do that.
They could, but now they don't really.
Remember, you can hold three quarterbacks now.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't be a roster hit.
I mean, I think they still have like three with this. They have four quarterbacks on their roster.
Yeah, they still
roster,
do.
Quote, unquote, roster.
Henny? Not Henny. Henny's Hannah. Gone. Hannah. Henny?
It was Bortles, but I think Bortles is gone. They had Bortles last year, I think.
No, Bortles has been retired for a while.
I thought they had Bortles.
Blake Bortles, he's been retired for a while. Maybe it
was Daniels that was last year.
Chase Daniels?
Yeah.
I think he's been gone too. I'm pretty sure it was like Hannah or something. You can look it up if you want to.
Chad Henne was their backup.
I know, but then he retired
at the end of their Eagles.
Then they brought up another person. It wasn't Henne. I know it wasn't.
I don't care. I really don't care about it.
They have their backup from last year still on their roster. I'm 90%
sure. Well, now they have a new backup.
Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz is a great backup.
And once Patrick Mahomes goes down for the year, Carson Wentz will just go ahead and do what Carson Wentz does and either throw bombs to whoever the receiver is going to be, because we're going to get to that here in a second, or throw the complete other team. But, yeah. like I said, it's a good signing for the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah. As far as backups go, not bad. And Carson Wentz has played multiple years as a starter.
I mean, he's no Joe Flacco.
No, not by any means. And he's had his moments. He's had his really ups. He's had his really downs.
I don't recall him ever having an up.
That year he tore his ACL.
And then Foles won a
Super Bowl.
For him.
That was his best year.
That was great. And then the Colts had him, and he was absolute garbage. Dude's made of fucking glass.
But as far as a backup goes, I'll take that. I'll take experience as a backup.
Yeah. And he fits the scheme kind of good.
I mean, think about it.
He's athletic, can get outside the pocket, can make the deep throws.
I mean, it's the Chiefs' MO to, like, get these guys that have been journeymen. Like you said, what was the name you just said?
Chad Henne.
Yeah, he was great as a backup, and he never really stuck anywhere.
When I look at the Chiefs roster in its entirety and the people that they sign, like, who the fuck is this guy? Or this guy's like, you know, it's not. And it comes from the movie Miracle and Coach Dean or Coach Herb. Not Herb. Yeah, Coach Herb, who was the coach for the Olympic team when they played the Russians and all that good stuff. But he says, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right ones. And that's what Andy Reid is doing with this team. He's not looking for the best players. He's looking for the archetype of player that's going to fit his scheme.
The biggest thing for Andy Reid's offense and like the whole team as a whole is just finding people that will buy in. That is it.
I don't even think they need to buy in. They just got to fit the scheme. I mean,
that's part of buying in.
No, because if it was buying in, Rashee Rice wouldn't have done what the fuck he did this past week. That ain't buying in.
Well, no, that's a different story. That's
the next door.
That's selling.
Yeah. How the fuck do you go from Super Bowl champ to being a fucking shit bag on 75?
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
I mean, so let's go ahead and get into this because I don't have really any other signings. I mean, that was about it, and then we'll go into.
Well, there was that signing by the Chiefs just today that happened. Yeah. I just sent it to you as well. I have it here.
Oh, Mike Dana.
Dana is now under new contract with the Chiefs, 3 years, $24 million, and he's actually not too bad. We looked up his stats because we didn't actually know his name. No. But dude gets average 5 sacks a year or something like that, and get some hurry ups and all that. He's pretty good on the other side of the Chiefs defense. Not bad. I would say a good signing. Cheap, if you think about it.
Cheap. Yeah. I mean, 8 years or not eight, three, three. Years, eight million.
Eight years, 24 mil. That'd be a heck of a contract.
Working for free at that point.
I'll take it. They wanted to sign me to that. I'll take it.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'll play for free, Massa.
Well, I wouldn't say I'll play for free at all because that sounds like a hard time, but
I'll play for free. I'll sleep in the locker room. Be okay. Everybody wins. So let's get into it. So if you haven't heard, if you've been living under a fucking rock, Super Bowl champion Rashee Rice decides that he wants to be an absolute shitbag and race his Lamborghini in Texas, home state of Texas. Essentially causes a wreck, injuring people, sending X amount of people to the hospital. I never got the full report. And then essentially gets out of his car and walks away.
So like you said, had the Lamborghini racing in one of his other cars, a Corvette, because he owned both cars.
Oh, he owned both.
He owned both cars. And him and his buddies were racing down. I think it was only six. It was six buddies were racing down the highway in Dallas and wrecked and caused a six-car pileup
and sent people to the hospital.
Yeah, it sent two people to the hospital. That is correct.
That is.
And then essentially the reports were they ran from the incident. Not so much running happened. If you have seen the video, they walked away from the incident.
Yeah. Nonchalantly, just like, no big deal. Like, they had no remorse for what they did or what they may have did.
And allegedly, reports say that they were taking some firearms out of the vehicle as well as when they were walking away, because they did have a bag. And those are just alleged from eyewitnesses. Never really know. You can't really trust eyewitnesses. But that is what is allegedly happening. Allegedly. But what's not allegedly happening is a break from today where in the Lamborghini they found 10.8 grams of marijuana inside of the Lamborghini that Rashid Rice told the police he was driving.
Yeah. I mean, Rashid Rice basically, I mean, he basically crucified himself. Just said, yeah, I was driving that car. Yeah, that's my weed. Which,
I don't know if he said that.
If it's in his car, it's his.
I know. Well, that's the standard. That's how the law works.
Yeah, that's how the state will see it.
And that's a felony amount of marijuana in Dallas.
Is it?
Yes.
So now it's a felony amount of marijuana. So he's got illegal possession. It's a felony for a hit and run for leaving the scene of an accident. So, and they're probably going to get him potentially for criminal speed, which is a felony in the state of Texas. So he's got three potential felony charges.
They'll be able to track how fast the cars were actually going by the video.
Yeah, because that whole freaking interstate system in Dallas and that whole Texas area, they got cameras fucking everywhere. There's nothing that doesn't get seen on that highway.
Dude, he screwed himself. He screwed himself. Let me read what this says. Here's the update. If charged, that amount would lead to a Class B misdemeanor in Texas.
Oh, for marijuana.
Which is punishable of 180 days in jail and a fine larger or up to $2,000. It could be larger than that, though. But that is still terrible.
Still criminal speed, which is...
Exactly. Felony. And that's criminal speed. Just leaving the accident is so dumb. Unless there was also reports that maybe he had been drinking beforehand and...
Getting a little crossfaded. What a guy.
Which would be another
felony.
Let's take him out of it for a second. Just for a second. This has happened multiple times before as well. What are they doing?
Must be nice.
Dog, I get it. If you're like a person that's working a job that you don't make a ton of money, and you're like, I can't afford an Uber to go home, I'm going to try to test it and drive home or whatever. Like, you shouldn't. But that's the mentality sometimes of people. But this dude makes millions of dollars.
Well, he's not quite to the millions yet.
He would have made... He still makes a lot of money. He can afford an Uber. He can afford an Uber.
That's true. He can afford an Uber Black.
And then, so if he was drinking, and that's what caused this, like, let's race, you know, because dumb moments happen when you're drinking.
Yeah,
then
been there.
Then he should have just got an Uber. A driver. You can afford all these things. But he didn't. Now, let's take the DUI thing completely out of it, right?
Okay.
Now you're racing. Why? You just heard, like, what, 2 or 3 years ago, Henry Ruggs happened, right? Like, that has to deal with a DUI as well. But, like, he ran into someone and killed people going, like, 100 miles an hour. So why are you doing essentially the same thing? Endangering people again when you know that story just happened.
What's crazy is that he didn't kill anybody, and I don't think Rashid Rice is going to see a huge punishment in the NFL if he can get out of litigation.
It all comes down to how this the lawyer can spin it to get him out of charges.
It'll be interesting because the lawyer himself already said, yeah, he was driving. So he's already admitting to criminal speed.
Which is, like you said, interesting because why would you admit to that at this point?
Yeah. Like, he was driving. Like, fuck! You know? But I want to go on to something.
He made a statement where he was saying he was driving. Yeah. Like he took, it was his statement that said that. And the lawyer was like, yeah, we'll put it out there. Like, that does not make any sense to me at all. But, like, these dudes got money. Why squander it on some dumb stuff like this? And then, let's say the weapons were in the vehicle, right? Why are you racing with weapons in the vehicle? And then, well, no.
The weapons in Texas don't mean... Unless they were under the influence, then you can't have them. But the weapons, I would say, in the state of Texas, doesn't really matter unless you were under the influence.
Yeah. And then, I'm sure if you have weapons and marijuana.
That would classify as under the influence.
Yeah. Well,
whether you were high or not.
Yeah.
If it's in the car, you're under the influence.
And I'm sure if they tested for that, it might not come up great for him either.
No. Hey, I'm trying to.
I'm sure there's a drug test coming in his future through the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. So, yeah, oh man, this dude just, and he looked so good too as a rookie. Like, he was going to break out this year. And there, I would say there has to be at least a 4-game suspension coming his way.
So, I just want to talk about this. You remember before the Chiefs were good, like, players would get hurt, or not get hurt, would get in legal trouble, and the Chiefs would just kind of like, see ya, cut them, move on.
Kareem Hunt?
See ya. And then all of a sudden, the Chiefs get good. Now, this guy in particular, Justin Ross, just last year, faces felony charges.
Yeah, I know who Justin Ross is.
6-game suspension, no big deal, right? That was it. That was the extent of his felony charge. He got 6-game suspension. Frank Clark.
Oh, I remember this.
Gets a felony weapons possession charge. And I think... What was his game? Like, it was like 2 games. 2-game suspension for player misconduct. For a felony weapons charge, he misses 2 games.
It's like you said, it's all about the litigation and how much trouble you actually get in with the law. See, this is such a big story. I don't feel like the NFL can get away with a small suspension.
I mean, Frank Clark at that time, the Chiefs already won a Super Bowl. That was in 2021.
You know what's bad? Like, you said all this stuff like that, and then you go back and you look at, like, Deflategate, and Tom Brady got a 4-game suspension for maybe knowing about deflated footballs, and then you got felony charges that get, like,
six games. Like, are you fucking kidding me? What are we doing here? Like, penalize people. That's why these shitheads keep fucking doing stupid shit, because they know they're just going to get slapped on the wrist as long as they can get out of jail time for their felony charges and do quote unquote community service.
The only thing that's kind of like helping him out in this situation is that he instantly got an attorney and said, "Hey, attorney, you take care of everything."
Well, that's the smartest thing he's done.
That literally is the last couple weeks. Only smart thing he did.
You know what? And this might be as biased as I get on this show. Give him the death penalty.
Like, suspend him forever?
Yeah, get him out of the NFL. Fuck that guy.
That's not going to happen.
I'm so tired of seeing, and not just NFL players, but athletes in general, just fuck up like this out off the field, outside the court, outside the locker room, whatever you want to call it. And like you said, couple game suspension, a little bit of a fine, like a drop in a bucket to some of these guys. They don't give a fuck. You're not hurting them. But you take away their career, you truly make them just lose everything. Then some of these players that are, you know, still playing ball might wisen the fuck up a little bit and be like, oh, I can't be a complete shithead in the offseason.
Well, the crazy... Someone's
got to be made an example of.
The crazy thing is now that they know about the marijuana, if they do a drug test on him, that's an instant suspension.
What are they going to give him? A slap on the wrist, another 6 games?
No, I'm pretty sure marijuana still holds up to like a 6-game suspension.
6 games, like I said.
But then
think about this.
If they test him, he pops, that's a 6-game suspension. On top of whatever suspension he gets for this whole event.
I highly doubt they would double up on
suspension. Well, we'll see.
I mean,
the difference between the Frank Clark thing and then who was the other person you said?
Justin Ross.
Justin Ross. There was no drugs involved.
No, just illegal firearms.
You're correct.
You know, NFA items.
But the NFL doesn't take too kindly to alcohol, or not alcohol, to marijuana and other outside drugs, as you've seen with multiple players getting suspended for.
Just blows my fucking mind.
Who is that? Who is that wide receiver that also played for the Chiefs, but also played for the Browns at one point, that could not stop smoking weed and got suspended every single year?
I know who you're talking about, but I cannot think of the name.
Every single year. It would just be like, all right, he popped.
Two game suspension, three games. He never played a full season.
Until they suspended him for a whole year, and then he came back, played with the Chiefs, and then they got suspended again. I can't remember what that guy's name is.
I cannot remember. Not off the top of my head. Yeah, I'm not even going to bother really looking it up, because I've got so many windows open.
If the Chiefs didn't need a wide receiver in the draft before this, they definitely
need an insurance policy.
Because I'm saying at two, bare minimum two, it has to be. And then at maximum, I could see anywhere from 6 to 8.
I could see them just cut them. See ya.
Now, yeah, the Chiefs might cut them. The Chiefs had a problem with a DUI guy before. Andy Reid's son or whatever.
Huh?
You don't remember, last year or 2 years ago, I'm pretty sure... Maybe it wasn't Andy Reid's son. One of the assistant coaches got into a DUI wreck and killed somebody, and I'm pretty sure he's in jail right now.
Well, he killed somebody, so
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so, what's up in Kansas City, man? What's up in misery?
All of a sudden, dude, they get a taste of victory and they turn into complete shitheads. I guess that's what happens.
I didn't want this to happen to the Chiefs, but man. It is sometimes.
It's nice when it's not the Cowboys having a team full of felons.
Yeah. Oh. Then the 70s Cowboys, the 80s Cowboys, they're all felons. Because they're winning a bunch. They're all felons. The 90s Cowboys, a bunch of felons. And then nowadays.
2020 Chiefs.
They're all felons.
I was going to say something. I just kind of forgot. So we'll just go ahead and move on.
This is probably some of the worst news the Chiefs and Chiefs fans have had to deal with in a while.
The good news for the Chiefs is that there is still a decent, and I do mean a handful, just up to five decent wide receivers that would be good plug-and-plays in free agency. Tyler Boyd's still out there.
I would easily... Go grab an insurance policy if I was them. That would be.
I still don't know why they still have not went after Tyler Boyd. Now there's been a lot of rumors that Tyler Boyd has been in talks with the Steelers heavily. So I wouldn't be surprised if something happens with Tyler Boyd soon, especially after this.
It would not be smart for the Chiefs not to get an insurance policy.
I mean,
Marquise Brown, as good as I think he is, he gets injured all the time.
And he still has a case of the drops.
And then you're talking about Rashid Rice may have a huge suspension coming. And so that basically, if Brown gets hurt, you have no one again.
Yeah.
And Chiefs fans, even though you won the Super Bowl, do you really want to spend all season again watching your wide receivers absolutely suck? You know, this is only good news to one person. Do you know who that is?
Travis Kelce.
Kadarius Toney. Because maybe he won't get cut.
He still has a job. That is nuts.
Because maybe he won't get cut anymore.
There was that TikTok going around, the cutout of when Patrick Mahomes got injured. Was it last postseason when he had his ankle injury against the Jaguars? And he was like, "Fuck, man!" Going in the back of the locker room, and the tag was when he hears Rashee Rice is probably going to jail and not Kadarius.
That's great.
But let's move on, but still stay on Kansas City. So if you're not from Kansas City or the Missouri area, you probably weren't aware of the potential bill that could have passed but failed, in which it was going to be like a sales tax increase to the people of the Kansas City area.
Kansas City, Missouri, specifically.
Yeah. Oh, so it wouldn't have affected the people in Kansas City, Kansas.
No.
interesting.
Not from what I had seen on videos and like I also looked it up on TikTok just to see what the residents were saying. Yeah, I sent you a video of that today. And
you send me so many videos, I don't watch them all.
Yeah, man, you gotta keep up on that sports news. But it was just for Kansas City, Missouri, because that is where they wanted to put the stadium, is in downtown Kansas City, which is in Missouri. So, sure. Hey, put that down a little softer over there.
I'll put this one down real soft.
So that failed, which I am, as far as like a person that is in Kansas, but like not up there, I'm all for it, because you know what? If a billionaire comes and asks me for money to make their stadium, like I could be a fan of you. It don't matter. No, I'm not paying for your stadium, man.
Why? We paid for everything else.
Yeah.
Paid for all the high schools.
I know.
But turf fields, paid for interest that is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Paid for Hartman.
Let's just look at our own example. Let's just look at our own example real quick. We paid for, and it wasn't us at the time, but the residents of our area paid for all these turf fields and all these upgrades to the high schools. And there's still only three high schools that can have football games.
Yeah.
That's a waste of money at that point.
But we got turf fields.
Oh, they got turf fields, which probably caused more injuries. Yay.
I did get injured on a turf field.
There you go.
Correct.
There you go.
But I was also injured a lot on non-turf fields.
In fact, I think I've only been injured on turf fields.
Well, it sounds like a personal problem.
There's a lot of people with personal problems. You
didn't get injured enough then.
The only injury I've ever had on a grass field is when I got crackback blocked and I thought I was going to Jesus.
So, with this bill, you know, failing to pass, there has been rumors of Kansas City, the Chiefs, potentially. Well, let me preface saying what this bill would have done. The Kansas City Royals would have had their current Kauffman Stadium demolished and moved to a potential site in downtown Kansas City, Missouri area, was the rumor. And then it was like $5 billion, but that sounds like
no.
$5 million. $5 million.
No, $500 million. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
$500 million.
That's why something didn't sound right to me. So $500 million for renovations for Arrowhead.
So see, I'm not against the renovations thing. Like,
it's an old stadium.
Yeah.
It needs to be updated.
I get the renovations things, but to move from a stadium in an area that's perfectly fine doesn't make sense to me.
Are you talking about the Kauffman Stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, look at all the iconic baseball stadiums and where they're at. Fenway, not in a commercial area.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yankee Stadium, not in a commercial area.
You're right. But remember, with both those stadiums.
You remember.
With both those stadiums, before they were not in a commercial area.
You mean
in a commercial area.
You mean Yankee Stadium, the new one that was built right across the street?
Not that one. Not that one. Before, though. Before. When those stadiums were made, bro,
nothing else was there.
I mean, New York was there, but was it like hundreds of skyscrapers? No.
Now there's Kauffman Stadium with nothing around it, so they want to build it where there's stuff around it.
Bro, I will say this much. And
I mean,
the atmosphere at a game at Kauffman Royals, at a game at Arrowhead, the outside atmosphere is what I would like to call perfect, because the tailgating scene is so great.
Now, here's the thing, though. When you think of tailgating, you don't think about baseball. You don't tailgate at baseball games.
Yeah, I did it all the time.
Dude, every baseball game I've ever been to, we get there and we go right in. Every time. I've never tailgated at a baseball
game. Well, then you haven't done it right. I've tailgated at baseball games.
It just doesn't make sense to tailgate at a baseball game.
It's fun.
No,
I think it is fun. I think it is so much fun.
But when you think of tailgating,
the reason
you guys can leave in the comments What do you think of? You think of football and football only.
Absolutely. I mean, because that's the biggest tailgate. That's the biggest tailgate.
You don't tailgate at
because,
baseball.
Like you said, most baseball stadiums are no longer in non-commercial. What did you call it?
I call it commercial. You can call it industrial.
Yeah, whatever you said. They're no longer are baseball stadiums in areas where you can do that.
Because
Kauffman's kinda, like a lone home base of like places
I'm,
you can do
I'm
that.
I'm trying
at.
To think of other baseball stadiums that I've been to or know of that are in open areas that are just massive parking lots. Because I've been to San Francisco Stadium, and
it's in downtown.
I mean, it's definitely not in a giant ass fucking parking lot. You are looking out at the bay, which is fucking dope, by the way.
Yeah,
so it's just
that's why it's not a big thing in baseball. It's a big thing at Royals games. There's people there all the time for Royals games.
Well, turns out people in Missouri like to get hammered.
Well, yeah,
especially
this
year,
nothing else to do.
Royals are awful.
Listen, there's nothing else to do in Missouri, so you have to find a place to get hammered.
It turns out, I don't know. So I kind of got far fetched on where I was going.
I'm just saying because they also wanted to move Arrowhead as well. Down towards, you know where the Legends area is at?
Yeah.
They wanted to move it over there by the Speedway.
Yeah, that was never going to happen.
I'm glad it didn't. They got vetoed. So, we're big college football fans too. Like, we love college football too.
I love all football. Even the UFL. It was a great opening weekend.
It is so much fun, even when it's not your team. Like, I go to K-State games, but the tailgating at those games are so much fun.
They say, at one point in time, that was like one of the best tailgates in all of football.
Yeah.
Not just college football, all of football. That was one of the best tailgating experiences.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we need more of that. We don't need to take that away. And the only reason to take that away is because you want profits off of tailgates. Like, if you are in downtown, guess what? The bar, you spend more money. You're going to go to a bar before the game. Instead of hanging out by your car, bought the beer for yourself. You're going to spend a bunch of money. And I'm not for that. I want to go to... I'm already paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go watch my team play. Well, not my team.
A team play.
But watch a team play. I don't want to also spend hundreds of dollars pre-gaming at a bar downtown to go to the game.
So why don't you just pre-game at the hotel?
I mean, you can do that too.
Or
as long as you get an Uber, right, Rasheed?
Or in the great state of Missouri, there's no open container.
Jesus
Christ. So as long as
still
you're not
get an
driving.
Uber. You got to get an Uber.
No, you know, there's no open container. As long as you're not driving,
that's
fine.
Why you get an Uber. Because you're not driving. Your whole party can hang out.
You just find one person that doesn't like to drink.
You get one of them party buses?
That sounds like awful.
Bring cornhole onto the party bus?
Now we're talking.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe a little ladder ball. You can get a ladder ball on a party bus.
That sounds dangerous. You hit the bus driver.
Well, you got to have guards up. You got to have background people making sure that none of the balls go.
We got so far off topic. So why this got brought up is that there was the whole pandemonium. Oh, the Chiefs might be leaving Kansas City. Highly doubt it. But the Dallas mayor did put that bug in the ear saying, hey, you know, our city could support both teams. Everybody does like a reunion. You know, the Chiefs did originally come from Dallas.
They were actually originally
that you educated me on.
They were actually originally called the Texans.
The Dallas Texans, that is correct. You edumacated me on that, and I was not aware.
But I highly doubt it. You know how much money it would cost to rebrand now you have to make a new stadium in Dallas, which I guess Dallas citizens would have to pay for. Then
I think they would.
Then probably because they already did it once.
Yeah.
Then you also have to rebrand everything. You have to now be called the Dallas Chiefs, which sounds dumb.
It does sound pretty stupid.
It sounds dumb. So maybe you change the team name too. Probably not. But the Dallas Chiefs sounds dumb. Even the we're on the Texas Chiefs. That sounds dumb. Like, you'd have to do all this stuff to rebrand your team, which all those options sound bad. Like, no. There's no way that after all this, they're going to spend all that money rebranding. They're going to stay where they are. And they're going to like it.
Here's why I think it's in the itty bitty. You know that emoji that it's like the okay sign in the distance between the index finger and the thumb.
Little bitty.
It's that
little
much.
Bitty living space.
It's that yes. It's that much of a chance and plausibility that I think that this potentially could still be talked about. Not that it could happen, but it could still be talked about because when we think of billionaires that the Hunt family, would you say
with a B.
Would you say it was 25 billion net worth?
We'll round it up to 25. Yeah, the Hunt family is worth rounded up $25 billion.
With a B.
Yeah.
Billion. So and
but why spend all that money to move to Dallas?
Just give me a second here. Everyone that I can see in the Chiefs forums were like, why would they move back to Dallas when their legacy was leaving Dallas and starting in Kansas and rebuilding in Kansas City? Well, one, everyone likes a reunion story right now. That's like the new fucking thing that everyone loves. Two, how do you think the rich got rich?
Well, didn't the Baltimore Ravens leave Baltimore to go to Indianapolis and go back to Baltimore or something like that?
It was the Baltimore Colts, but
yeah. I mean, teams have done it.
No, they didn't go back to Baltimore. Baltimore Ravens was a new franchise after the Colts.
I know what I was thinking of. L.A. Rams left L.A., went to St. Louis.
And went back to
then
L.A.
Then back to L.A. and won a Super Bowl.
Okay,
stop. It's been done.
Well, yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is it's been done.
And that gives this story more merit because you went from a large market in L.A. to a small market in St. Louis, coincidentally in Missouri, back to a big market in L.A.
You're gonna lose so many fans.
I don't think so.
I think a lot of KC fans just moved to Denver.
I don't think they would. But you know what we would do? We would find out who the real Kansas City fans are.
That's
because
true.
There's so many Kansas City fans that are just, oh, I'm a fan because it's the closest team. Yeah? Well, if they move to Dallas, they're not the closest team anymore. What? Well,
no, you can.
No, they're still probably the closest team.
Denver. Denver's about
8 hours.
8 to 10,
and
you can get to Dallas in about 8 to 10.
Dallas,
probably 12. Right?
Dallas, you can make.
No, I'm thinking of Houston. I'm thinking of Houston.
Dallas, you can make it like 5 or 6 hours.
And if you're in northern Kansas,
oh well, yeah.
Now you're looking at like 12 hours or more.
No, it's still about 8 hours.
What's 4 hours to get up to close to Nebraska?
You'd be fine. Just go ahead and speed right through that bitch. But there ain't no speed in Dallas. Turns out. So anyways,
God. Not from what you said, felony charges.
It is felony speeding or criminal speed. So but what I was getting at is how do the rich get rich? How do the rich stay rich? And how do people that have money keep money? And my brother is a testament to this. Very successful young man, has a lot of money, frugal turd. But what does the state of Texas not have that helps with money? They don't have state income tax.
That is
so that's a lot more money in a billionaire's pocket. So I do think that there is the very small yet highly unlikely plausibility
that they still move.
That they still could potentially move. Yes, I do think that.
I mean, with the income tax thing that you're talking about, yes, that makes sense. Because, yeah, for an owner, that probably their income, you know, that's not a bad idea.
That's a lot
but
of
why go to Dallas at that point? You could go to anywhere in Texas and do the same thing. Why over that market?
You're not competing against anybody. The Dallas Cowboys, but their stadium's in Arlington. Where else you can't go to Houston because the Houston Texans are there. You can't. Where else are you gonna put it? You can't out there in bumfuck Egypt.
Listen, what's the okay? So it's Houston. There's Dallas, San Antonio. We go to San Antonio.
San Antonio is not that huge of an income area, though.
Spurs seem to be doing just fine.
That's true, but to me, that's the difference between supporting an NBA team in San Antonio and trying to support an NFL team in San Antonio. To me, I just think the NFL, it just costs more in my mind to support an NFL team than it does an NBA team. I mean, they have an NBA team in Oklahoma City. you know.
Hey, there's a good place to move an NFL team.
Stop. Would it be cool? Probably. But do I think that Oklahoma City could support it? No, not at all. I mean, it's the same reason why Wichita can't support one. Are we a big city? Yeah. Are we bigger than Kansas City? No.
If a team moves to your area, can you now switch to that team as your favorite?
No, get fucked. If you're if you're bought in, you're bought in, okay? I was born in the Chiefs kingdom. I fucking left on my own free will.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could leave on your own free
will. I'm not coming back.
I'm not saying you leave.
Ever.
I'm saying, as an NFL fan, does it justify
no
leaving if a team comes to your area?
No. Because, so, let me go ahead and just riddle you this. Okay. If the Panthers moved to Dallas, or let's say the Panthers moved to Wichita.
Okay.
And you weren't a Dallas fan. As bad as the Panthers are you going to be like, I'm a Panthers fan?
No.
Exactly. You would not think about, oh, if shitty team A moved to my area.
But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about like an average, not diehard fan, which I've come to realize there are quite a few diehard fans, but there are massive amounts of, I'll call them normals.
Okay, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Normies. That's a bit normies. Yeah, right. Call them normies. Okay. You can see it here. Before the dynasty happened here in Kansas City.
More so after.
Exactly. But before that, you never heard regular people talking about Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But all of a sudden they get good and it's like, oh, I'm a Chiefs fan now.
But if you're like you're saying, you got the Panthers that move into the city.
No.
You're going to see regular people, normies, jump on that bandwagon, even if...
You think the normies are going to be like, yeah, I'm going to rep this team because they are absolute dog shit.
I think you would.
I don't think so.
I think you would.
No.
Just like how I bet you a bunch of Las Vegas citizens were like, cool, now we're Raiders fans.
I don't think anyone actually...
There are people that live in Vegas.
I know there's actually people that live in Vegas.
Okay? How do you think they get so many... dealers at the casinos. People have to do those jobs.
People that live in Vegas, but does anybody actually live in Vegas? I'm just saying.
They don't live on the strip. They live in the suburbs.
Is there any other place in Vegas other than the strip?
The desert?
Turns out.
And there's people that live
I'm
out there.
I'm obviously being completely sarcastic, but all I'm saying is I don't think you would see, quote unquote, from Cody, normies flocking to a new team moving to the area that's an existing franchise that is absolute garbage. I don't see that happening.
I think a lot of St. Louis Rams fans jumped on the Chiefs bandwagon when they left, and I feel like there's a bunch of I think there's a bunch of normies out in LA that definitely jumped on the Rams fan base.
There's when you got two teams to just pick from now.
Three in LA or in Los Angeles because you got San Fran. You got the Chargers, the Chargers, and then you got the Rams.
Yeah, okay. I was just specifically talking about L.A., but yeah.
Well, then you'd have three.
You threw in the 49ers, so. I mean, it's still California, I suppose.
Let's wrap this up a little bit. From everything you said, it does have some merit, and also, it probably also has some merit as corporate NFL. Because if the NFL goes, oh, you want to move to Texas? Cool, we're all for that. That's huge market. Same as like when the Rams moved to LA. It's like that's another big market. That's good for them.
And the Chargers moved to LA.
Exactly.
Instead of San Diego.
Exactly. So I feel like the NFL would be behind this move.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
100%. But I feel like
it would be a bad move for the franchise.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel about that.
I wonder how many Kansas City fans would. That we quote unquote know that are diehard Kansas City fans would be Dallas Chiefs fans.
I would roast them so hard.
I would.
Because I would be like, oh, you're never going to be a Dallas fan, huh? I guess you are.
Got his ass.
Guess you are going to be a Dallas fan now.
So let's get into the big news. The biggest of news that in my mind has come out through, I guess we can't call it free agency, but the offseason.
Easily the biggest trade news of this offseason, in my opinion.
Now, I knew, and I said numerous weeks over and over that the Texans were going to make a move in, quote, free agency.
I didn't think this move.
Technically, this is not free agency, but I definitely did not see this one coming. The Texans trade for Stephon Diggs. I said they were going to make a move at wide receiver or running back. They signed Joe Mixon. Not the big move I was looking for. And I was highly disappointed that I was going to be wrong. And then these shitheads surprised me with this. They trade for Stephon Diggs. And not only did they trade for Stephon Diggs, they got him for a bag of fucking chips. They basically gave a second round pick, but not even this year's second round pick. A second round pick in 2025.
Yeah, that's I was misinformed when I was reading it before. I thought it was a pick for 2024. No, it is not until 2025, like Nate said. And that is probably the biggest, like, slap in the face to your franchise. Like, you're not even going to be better this coming year. You're not going to be better until next year. You're wasting my boy Josh Allen's career at this point.
And, like, here's the thing. It's not even the Texans' second-round pick. No. It's Minnesota's second-round pick. So this could really come back to bite the Bills. Now, the Minnesota could be, I highly doubt, but they could be okay. And then that second-round pick drops. Yeah. And this could be an absolute backfire for the Bills. And here's the thing. Not only did they get Stephon Diggs, they got a fifth-round pick. I think it was a fifth-round pick this year and then a sixth-round pick. One is this year. They got
six,
a sixth.
It's a sixth.
They got a sixth-round pick this year and a fifth-round pick in 25. And Stephon Diggs for a second-round pick next year in 25. This is just absolutely insane.
This 100% reminds me of the Amari Cooper trade when he went. But even, in like you said, almost worse. Because at least those 4 or 5 were from the same year. This is from a whole different year. This is crazy. And not to mention, there's more news behind this that I think you know more about. You did a little more research, so I'll let you explain it. But this could work so much in the Texans' favor. It's ridiculous.
The Texans are playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. Whoever their GM is, who I think, they started with a new GM in 22 or 21. I'm not 100% sure. But he's doing fantastic because they go and make this trade. And Stephon Diggs has a total of four years left on his contract. They go to Stephon Diggs and say, you know what? We want to go ahead and cancel your last 3 years and turn your 1 year this year worth 22.5 million. So he's playing 22.5 million on essentially a 1 year deal this year. And what that does for the Texans is that if they decide that they don't want to sign Stephon Diggs to a long-term deal after the 24 season, and he goes into free agency and he gets signed by another team, they get a third round compensatory pick. Yeah. So they turn a second round pick to a top-tier wide receiver, 2 picks, and could potentially turn around, wash him out, and get a third back. This is absolutely fucking genius.
Which at this
by
point,
the Bills or this, by the Texans.
At this point, they're probably going to release him at the end of the season, no matter what really happens, just because they get that pick. And then it's a win-win for Diggs too. I bet this is how they spun it. They go, hey man, we just want to run for the Super Bowl this coming year, and then we'll let you go wherever you want to, and we get a pick back.
No, they can't just let him go. They can't release him because they don't get the compensatory pick. He has to be signed in free agency. They have to let him go to free agency and hope he gets signed.
Look, come on now.
I mean, he'll get
come signed. Come on now. He'll get signed.
What? Here's the thing. I think they re-signed.
They could do that too. I'm not saying you're wrong.
They don't have, in my mind, they still don't have a top tier grade A wide receiver.
Hold up now. Hold up. Come on now. Who? Tank Dell? Nico Collins?
Okay, Nico Collins been in the year for or been in the league for like 4 years now, and all of a sudden we know his fucking name.
He has not been in the league that long.
He's been in the league for like 4 years.
But with freaking what's his name, Davis Mills?
Hey, who you were all high and all down about it. Now you're all down and doubt it.
No, Davis Mills is good for what he is, but he's not CJ Stroud.
Now Tank Dell. Yeah, he's a good receiver. Got hurt. Will he be the same? Probably.
Dang good receiver.
You're going to tell me you're going to take either one of those two over Stephon Diggs?
I thought they had a great 1-2 punch before this happened.
And now they got better.
Literally, there could have been an argument.
I like how you didn't answer my question.
There literally was an argument.
So you still haven't answered my question. You're going to tell me you're going to take one of those, Nico Collins or Tank Dell, over Stephon Diggs. Right now.
You got to pick
one of those three. Who are you going to take?
I mean, I'll take Stephon Diggs.
Exactly. Shut the fuck up.
That's biased because I love Stephon Diggs.
It's not biased. He's got the stats to back it up. Now,
Stephon Diggs is my favorite wide receiver that's not wearing a star on the side of his helmet.
I personally like a lot of other receivers, but Stephon Diggs is still a good receiver.
Stephon Diggs, when it comes down to it, if I was like, take your bias out of it, don't even rank your team the same way. Stephon Diggs is my number one wide receiver. I have loved Stephon Diggs since the Minnesota Miracle. Case Keenum, Diggs! He throws his fucking helmet in the air. Ever since that happened, boom, that's my dude. So that's a little biased. Now, if you look at stats from last year, hey man, Nico Collins looked really, really good.
That was also after Tank Dell left, and he was the primary target.
And then I'll get both. They're still both going to be on contract, and you can let Diggs go, and you get a third.
Why would you let Diggs go, though? You get a veteran top-tier receiver that – because Nico – what I would do – now, I'm not a – NFL GM for the Texans playing chess. I'm playing checkers. What I would do, and I'm going to go ahead and pull this up real quick before I say anything completely stupid.
Oh, you need the backup of the internet, huh? You can't make your point with the internet.
I did not think I was going to come to this topic here.
Oh,
Nico Collins.
You're talking to me.
So Nico, how did you Collins, not think
you were going to come to this conversation?
Nico Collins is a free agent after this year. Okay, so he's only been in the league for 2 years.
We didn't know his name. Oh, because he's played 1 year with Davis Mills and 1 year with CJ Stroud. Oh, we don't know his name.
I thought he'd been in the league for 4 years. And he was. So.
We're going to need you to apologize.
I'm not going to apologize. Shit. I apologize to absolutely fucking no one. So he's still on his rookie deal. If he does still produce, which I think he could, especially with CJ Stroud, why wouldn't you re-sign Nico Collins? And if you could, especially if you're winning, get Stephon Diggs, you still have a veteran guy to teach these two young guys and Tank Dell and Nico Collins.
Sure. But it comes to that point. Stephon Diggs is getting older. Nico Collins is still young. If you're going to give the bag to someone, you give the bag to Nico Collins.
I agree. I agree with that.
So I guess it all really depends on how they both play this year.
Actually, you can give the bag to both.
I mean, you could because they don't have – they have their money is wide open.
Yeah, because they still have their franchise quarterback on a rookie deal. They're going to have two – or at least one offensive lineman on a rookie deal. Joe Mixon didn't cost them a shit ton of money.
Oh.
Their defense is still relatively cheap. They still got money just sitting around that they could still pay everyone they need to. Until Stroud needs to get paid, because Stroud is going to get paid.
Yeah, because when he wins the Super Bowl in this coming year, he's going to be worth like $200 million.
I mean, on paper, I just don't see a team in the AFC... on paper,
let's, or
a team in the NFC on paper.
While we're at it,
better than the Texans.
While we're at it, let's just go quick because I have it pulled up.
Wicked quick.
Do their depth chart. Starting quarterback, but we all know him, CJ Stroud, played fantastic his first year in the league
with a diminished offensive line, completely destroyed by injuries. By the way,
yeah. So that's your starting quarterback. Then you have Joe Mixon. We've talked about him. He's not the best, but he's
better than
still,
what they had.
He's still pretty dang good, and they got him for cheap, pretty cheap. Now you have Diggs. We have talked about that. We have Nico Collins. We have Tank Dell.
Yeah, we all know what those three guys are capable
of. I'm still going to bring up these two guys because they're sitting on the bench at this point. Is Robert Woods. He's old, but he's good enough to get in at some points. Then you have Noah Brown.
Who had a couple games last year over 100 yards when Tank Dell was out.
So let's move on. The only weak spot in the entire depth chart, tight end Dalton Schultz.
How dare you? I was waiting for you to say something and just completely ignore him.
Pretty bad tight end, you know. No big deal. We won't even bring up fullback because it doesn't really matter. But you have Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. You have Kenyon Green, Juice
Scruggs or Struggs, something like that.
Sorry, I haven't heard that name in a while. Juice Struggs, Shaq Mason, and Titus Howard. Good, solid offensive line. Now, behind that offensive line,
they need a little depth, and I think they could get better.
We won't talk about that. But let's go on to the defensive side right now, which is almost, if not more impressive.
They just need help in the secondary because
we have Daniel Hunter.
Good. Dog.
Danico Autry. Good. Dog. I'm going to butcher this. Florenzo Fatukazmi.
Plays his role.
Will Anderson.
Dog.
Christian Harris. Decent. Aziz Alshire. Dog.
I mean.
Henry Tuatui. I'm sorry. Jeff Okuda. Good. Good. Good.
I thought he was good, but he's just absolute.
This is literally, besides tight end, their worst part of their, depth chart is Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, and Derek Stingley. And they can address all of that in the draft.
I think they should. I think they should definitely help themselves in the secondary. I think they need help there. I think their pass rush is good. I think their linebackers are good. I think their offensive line could need some help in depth. Especially with the signing of Stephon Diggs, they don't need help at wide receiver. They don't need help at running back. They don't need help right now at tight end. I think they really need to address their secondary in the draft and see if they can get some young studs to go in there.
So you brought it up. Let's talk about it. You brought it up. We'll start in their division first. This is very easy. Do they have a better roster than the Colts?
Yes.
Do they have a better roster than the Titans?
Yes.
Better roster than Jags.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, so they obviously, and no offense to your team, they dominate the division.
Everybody in the division dominates the Colts because they all got better.
I'm not even talking about the Colts. I'm just saying,
in general.
The Texans.
Jim Irsay should just do something else.
So I'm going to skip the team that I actually do think has a close roster. I'm going to go down the line. Do they have a better roster than the Dolphins?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think so. I feel like just starting quarterback trumps everything. And then Patriots.
Next.
Then you got the Bills. Yikes.
I mean, you talk about a team that's just fire sold everybody. They fire sold most of their secondary. I mean, who they have on their defense? Von Miller?
Von Miller. We just looked it up for the podcast. Von Miller. They have Von Miller.
Their only offensive weapon other than Josh Allen is Cook.
Yeah.
And is Dawson Knox still there? I don't know.
You keep bringing up Dawson Knox. That's not even their starting tight end anymore. It's Dalton Kincaid.
Oh, I forgot about Kincaid.
Kincaid's good.
Yeah.
But what's that going to be your only target all year? Sorry. Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel, they're number one right now.
So rough there. We're going to move on.
Jesus H.
The Browns. Browns have a good defense, but their offense without Joe Flacco, we'll see how that goes.
Their defense all around, I think, is better.
So you're gonna give them a maybe. Let's go through. You give them a maybe.
Yeah, I'll give them a maybe.
We'll go to the Baltimore Ravens.
All around roster, the Ravens and the Texans are right there. I'd give the Ravens just a slight edge.
I give the Texans a slight edge because of starting quarterback.
I'm gonna give the Ravens a slight edge just because of experience.
Now we're going to Pittsburgh.
I don't trust Russell Wilson. Fuck that shit. I'm out.
Or Justin Fields. Going to Bengals. They're decimated now.
Who knows who the fuck?
Yeah.
What Joe Burrow they're going to get.
It depends on if he's injured or not. So he's out.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the division that kind of matters. They're definitely better than the Raiders. By far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chargers.
Yeah.
By far. Broncos. Broncos don't even know who their quarterback's going to be.
sad, a sad day, T-Rexy.
The Chiefs.
Now.
On paper. On we're just paper, talking on paper.
On paper, the only two positions I would give the Chiefs the advantage of.
Starting quarterback.
Three positions. Starting quarterback, starting tight end.
And, well, that's a given.
And defensive tackle. And defensive tackle.
I would say that every team I've said so far has probably a better tight end.
God, dude, you're so, so salty. But when we talk about, the roster in entirety. In my opinion, C.J. Stroud, I know he's only played 1 year. Talent-wise, is close to Patrick Mahomes. In my opinion, and talent. Now, in gameplay and experience, obviously, there's still an offset there. But in talent, I see it. Tight end, I think there's no contest. Wide receivers, we're not even talking.
There's people all on the Texans bench that are better than all the starting wide receivers in Kansas City.
I think the offensive line for the Texans are better when they're healthy, but I think the Chiefs have a little bit more depth. Defensively, I think the Texans are better across the board, period, other than the secondary. I think the Chiefs' corners are better, even without L'Jarius Sneed.
Not the one team, and you probably know who they are because I haven't said them yet, the one team I think stacks up close to them, and it all depends on one man, the New York Jets.
Across the board.
That is the one team that...
That defense is really good.
That's what I'm saying. That's the one team that I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. This team, they match up good.
They do.
But here's the question.
They mirror each other quite well.
Here's the question. 1 year off of an Achilles tear.
That's fine. He throws off his back foot with enough power. It'll be fine.
But does another injury happen? He's getting up there. Because if they have Zach Wilson again, like, there are nobodies again.
I mean, if Rodgers can stay healthy, I do think that the Jets... I'm going to give the edge still to the Houston Texans.
Here,
because I think...
I'll ask you this question. But before you go too in-depth, I'll ask you this one question. Fourth quarter, you need the win. Who are you trusting more, Aaron Rodgers or C.J. Stroud?
That's a dumbass question. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. So that's the one team out of the entire AFC, and I'm including the Chiefs in this, the entire AFC, that's the only team that matches up with them.
You're okay. Just going off of your last question, so you're telling me that you would take C.J. Stroud over Mahomes in the fourth quarter?
No, but the rest kinda, of the roster on paper. What you said. And remember, we're talking on paper here. The rest of the roster out trumps Patrick Mahomes.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. But the rest of the roster doesn't out trump the Jets. That defense is by far the best defense in the league.
Across the board, sure. Yeah.
So now,
talk about the Jets.
So on the offensive side, the only one question mark, and it is a big question mark, is can Aaron Rodgers stay healthy?
Yeah. And I still think, they did address their offensive line. I still think they need a little bit of help, the Jets.
They got Tyron Smith?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if he plays all 16 games. Apparently, so, you tell me he can't make it.
There is a very good chance that these Texans could make an easy run to the Super Bowl.
I think they'll walk through the division. I do. Now, when the schedules... I know the teams that they play at home and away have been released, but the schedule themselves have not been released. When the schedule comes out, we start going through our divisional breakdowns. We'll see more, but yeah, quickly just thinking, I see the Texans winning at least 12 games.
I have pulled up right now. Home games. We'll just start with home games. Okay. Colts.
Win.
Jags.
Win.
Tennessee Titans.
Win.
Lions.
Win.
Bills.
Win.
That's rough, dude. You traded your best player and you have to play them at home.
That's rough.
Dolphins.
W.
Bears.
W.
Baltimore. This is the iffy one. This is the one iffy one.
Because I've went 7 W's in a row, I'll give them a loss there.
We'll give them a 50-50.
I'll give them a loss against Baltimore.
So we're already looking at 7 wins. Now go to the away. Colts.
W.
Jags.
I'm going to say they split with the Jacks, so they lose there on the road.
Titans again.
W.
Patriots.
W.
Jets.
Only because it's on the road, and I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy. I'm going to go ahead and give him a loss.
Okay. Chiefs. At Arrowhead.
Mark my words. W.
Oh.
W.
Cowboys. In Jerry World.
W.
I can also agree with that, to be honest. Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
That's a hard one, actually. That's a hard one.
You talk about a team that on paper looks threatening. I'm not going to say only because it's in Green Bay. I think Green Bay comes out.
Okay. So then to finish it off, the Vikings.
W.
Okay.
So that's so I think I said 12 or 13 wins there.
Yeah. So we're talking about a 13-win team only losing basically away games besides the one maybe game at home to Baltimore.
Right.
You're going to get home field advantage for 13 wins.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're going to go all the way through having home field advantage up into the Super Bowl. This team could easily make a run.
Dude, there's a lot of people saying that it is now the era of Houston and Green Bay. That is what we're going to see.
If Love can recreate the second half of the season, there is a very good chance that is true.
Let me just go ahead and just demolish all of our Green Bay fans. I'm sorry, Jordan Love is never winning a Super Bowl.
Damn.
Ever. He's got good talent, but he's not a quarterback that elevates the talent around him. And that's what you need. That's what CJ Stroud does. That's what Patrick Mahomes does.
Well, we got a prime example of Patrick Mahomes elevating his wide receivers.
That's what Rodgers has done in the past.
Absolutely.
But I don't think Jordan Love can do that. I don't think Jordan Love's that quarterback that can make his team better around him. He has to have the tools, and he does have tools around him. I think that if he does win a Super Bowl there in Green Bay, it's because that front office in Green Bay gets better. I don't think they're doing a good enough job.
Give me a tangent real quick. So you've obviously said Rodgers, Mahomes, CJ. Where else are you having an elevated QB that elevates all of his wide receivers?
I think Burrow has the ability, but we'll see. We just have to see.
You'd have to see it this year.
He hasn't played without a good wide. I mean, who's been his receivers? T. Higgins,
Jamar Chase,
and Tyler Boyd. The best three wide receivers that you could possibly start.
And even go back to his college career. You know who his two wide receivers were?
I have a feeling you're about to
tell me. Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Turned out those guys are pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the two best wide receivers in the league. Yeah, pretty much.
So, do I think that he can elevate guys? I do. I think Joe Burrow is a leader. I think he's good with the football. I think he can make guys better. I think he has the accuracy to put it on a fucking number and make guys better. Other quarterbacks that I think that can make their teams better or just make the people around them better. I think Dak Prescott can... But I don't think Dak Prescott has the ability to win a Super Bowl. I think Dak Prescott has elevated his team. I mean, Brandon Cooks, I think, is a good wide receiver, and he was before he got to Dallas. We saw CeeDee Lamb this year take a huge jump because Dak Prescott feeding the ball and CeeDee Lamb even getting open. I mean, Michael Gallup, a good wide receiver, but he's not. I want to put that three, Michael Gallup. Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb in the same realm as Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd.
No.
Do I think...
And Dak's... I'm a boaster a little bit, but Dak's done it with worse.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Dak can make his team better, but Dak folds under his own pressure.
Oh, 100%. I mean, just look at every first round of the playoffs ever.
Turns out. This is going to be a far-fetched, and I'm going to catch a little hate. Not from you, Captain Kirk. He tends to make players around him better. But you talk about another guy that folds under his own pressure, Captain Kirk.
Prime time.
Yeah.
Rough on him.
But he finds ways to get the right players the ball. So there is a small few quarterbacks that I can say in the NFL that make their team better around them.
Lamar?
No. He does not make his team better He doesn't elevate his team.
Trevor Lawrence.
I think he's lost the locker room, in my opinion. I think the signing of Mac Jones just says that.
Yeah. I can't even... you just named off the only guys that I probably would say. I honestly might have even left Dak off my list of people that elevate, but that's just because I know I'm biased in saying that. But, yeah, dude, there's only a handful of QBs that can do what we think CJ Stroud can do. Now, we'll see.
We will see. One guy I'll throw in there, he's not a starter, but he's going to be a starter.
Bryce Young?
Stop. Bryce Young is an absolute garbage can. I hate people in this group that I'm in on Facebook. How can you judge Bryce Young after 1 year? Easy. He fucking sucks. You know what CJ Stroud did? CJ Stroud took the Texans from fucking absolute garbage to division champs in one fucking year.
Yeah, and had a very good chance of going way further in the playoffs. I mean, they destroyed the Browns.
If they would have had a run game to take a little bit of pressure off them against the Ravens.
Well, they do now.
I think they do now. And if their offensive line would have stayed healthy, they would have. But I got off on my tangent. I mean, this might be a little biased, but I think a guy that does elevate players around him, and I think it's more of his attitude and the way that he approaches the game, not so much his gameplay, because he is a career backup, even though he started some last year. He's going to be a starter this year, most likely. And that's Minshew magic. That's Gardner Minshew. Oh my God. The guy, he somehow makes teams win ball games. I don't understand it, but he does find a way to win games. Now, is he a Super Bowl quarterback? Fuck no. Is he a championship quarterback? No, he's not going to win you a division. But can he make your team relevant? Sure. Fuck yeah, he can. He can make everyone better. I don't understand it. I don't think he does it with his gameplay the way that I mentioned that Rodgers, Stroud, Mahomes does. But he does it with his attitude. He just slings the rock. He just has a good time doing it.
Absolutely. Gosh, I'm looking through the... Now, we're going to get hate for this because we never mentioned Purdy, but I'm telling you, that's just system.
Yeah, Purdy, I don't think elevates his team. I think he's just got a bunch of tools around him. He's in a perfect system for way he plays the game.
We forgot one name that we both like. It's like actually probably one of our favorite quarterbacks, Justin Herbert.
Stop.
Does he elevate, though? I don't think so.
I don't think so. If he did, they would have won more games.
Yeah, he's good, but...
And
did he elevate Keenan Allen?
I don't think so. No. Justin Herbert is basically a more talented... God, this is going to be so bad.
He's more talented...
He's a more talented Gardner Minshew.
Whoa. I would say he's a more talented Drew... not Drew Brees. More talented Philip Rivers.
He's a more gifted Philip Rivers, I guess. I wouldn't say talented, but more gifted.
But that's...
Herbert has been such a letdown. Next to him and Kenny Pickett, I don't know who's worse.
It's not him that's the letdown. It's the team. But, yeah, I digress. But, I'm looking at all the teams right now. And the only other person maybe that I can talk about is, like, Goff. Goff has kind of done pretty well in Detroit.
But, I mean, you talk about a system quarterback. I mean, Goff, in my mind, is a Brock Purdy. He's in a good system that fits his skills. But I don't think he elevates his team. I don't think he elevates anyone to be better.
Yeah. So we're in agreement. There's like four, maybe five
quarterbacks
that actually elevate.
Yeah.
And out of those five, there's three on good teams. Mahomes.
Well, we said he's not on a good team. He's
Aaron Rodgers.
He just elevates the team.
Aaron Rodgers
is on a good team.
And CJ Stroud. That's all AFC.
Team. Yeah.
And I was going to... I guess you could say Cowboys are still a good team, but not really if you look at this free agency.
They got no offensive line. You're down to one wide receiver. You still got Cook.
That's why I'm cutting them out. Receivers. That's why I'm cutting them out of the good team. That's why I'm cutting them out of the good team because, like, after this free agency, I'm so down the team, they might go 7-9 for all. Or seven, I guess it couldn't be 9, 7-10.
I don't think so. I still think they win 10 games. we'll get into that as the breakdown after. After the draft, but man,
long story short, CJ Stroud is him.
I think so. And I said it when he got drafted, he was going to be the best quarterback in that draft. And I think he's going to if he stays healthy, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Early pre-draft analysis says the Houston Texans are winning the Super Bowl.
Agreed.